You showing up on social media, providing value, teaching people something, helping them live a better life, making them laugh, making them whatever it is your thing is, you are a leader. And leaders are the highest paid people in the world. Influencer equals leader, leader equals influencer. It's not anything scammy.
You've tuned into the Art of Money and Communication podcast. My name is Joshua, and this is the place where you can come on Wednesdays to hear inspiring financial stories from everyday normal people just like you and just like me. Now, on the podcast, I try to get people from all walks of life, but this particular episode may be like looking in the mirror for myself, but a mirror very, very far away across the Atlantic Ocean. Jordan is also an operatic tenor, just like myself, with a knack for business. We have a great discussion, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Do stay tuned. Jordan, it's an absolute privilege and a pleasure to have you on the podcast. I've been seeing you on social media. I discovered your account maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I've been loving the content. So for the listeners who don't know you, please, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you're passionate about?
Absolutely. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Jordan Schreiner. I'm an opera singer. I'm a voice professor, and I build and help people build six-figure businesses using your skills and monetizing your social media. So those are my strengths. I am from upstate New York. It was where I was born and currently live in near Binghamton, New York, in between New York City and Ithaca, kind of smushed in between, if y'all know Cornell University. Up in that region. So that's where I currently am and what I do.
I've had a couple of opera singers on the podcast before, because I'm biased as an opera singer myself, but your account really stood out to me because of the things that you've just described. You're not just an opera singer, you've got a business acumen as well. And I found that to be quite a rare thing amongst other singers. Is that the case for you? Why do you think that is, perhaps?
I went into undergrad with a music ed degree. I wanted to teach, I wanted to sing, but you know, went and started music ed. And then as soon as they had me in general music methods, sitting on the floor playing patty cake with the little kids, I was like, I cannot. I called my parents. I said, you got to get me out of here. I cannot sit in dress clothes on the floor playing patty cake. I was like, I want to add vocal performance. And they said, you can absolutely audition for it. But you have to add another major with it because it's too risky. And so I was very lucky at Mansfield University, where I did my undergraduate degree and where I currently teach. I have I have an undergraduate degree in vocal performance, and I have an undergraduate degree in music business management. So that's where the exposure to business, that's where the exposure of thinking that I can sing and do something else originally was born.
Now, on a day like today, myself as a freelancer, one of the most difficult things I find is to curate my ideas, to make sure that I'm full of ideas. I have lots of ideas, but how do I manage to sieve those ideas down to make sure that I'm, for example, I've got a role that I need to learn, a new concert piece, but they're in a few weeks' time. But at the same time, I've got some other irons in the fire, emails to reply to, auditions to find, but I've got businesses that I want to do. How on earth can I start to make sure that I and the listeners to this podcast, if you have a great idea, that you're not getting too overwhelmed, let's say?
Totally. So the first thing that I will say is that one of my business mentors taught me, keep the main thing the main thing. And so when we, you know, I feel like you and I are kindred spirits in this, is that there's a lot of things that we want to do to make a greater impact on the world. Especially as artists, that is like what makes us tick, is how can we make a greater impact on the world? How can we share these stories? How can we make people feel? How can we give them an escape out of their normal world, whatever, however you look at it? But how can you keep the main thing the main thing? So for me, it absolutely is within the music realm. The main thing is the main thing. I want to sing. I want to teach singers. I want to provide a level of education around vocal technique that I did not receive until later in my career. How can I be that vocal mentor for someone? And then keeping the main thing the main thing, how can I help singers build businesses so they don't feel like they're shackled to the career of that I have to make money from my voice? No, you can make money from anything you want to fund this career so you can continue to chase your dreams. So I think with all of us, it's so easy to feel like if there's so many things we want to accomplish, how can you keep the main thing that then allows you to do the other things that inspire you, but keep it in the vortex of the main thing? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, sure does. Sure does. And for, look, there's a variety of people that listen to the podcast. If you're not a singer, if you're not a musician, don't fret. All of this stuff is transferable into many other walks of life. I love this idea. The main thing is the main thing. Yeah. Why is it sometimes that we struggle with that idea that we're scared of the main thing being the main thing? Perhaps it's attached to income. Perhaps it's how our time is derived or organized throughout the week. But I love that. If we can find the anchor in our life and give that clarity to ourselves, then that's going to help or inform how we plan our diary, right?
Totally.
You talked about creating or helping people create six-figure businesses. How does one go about doing that? That sounds amazing to me. Tell me some more about that.
If you're listening to this podcast and it sounds woo-woo, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, sounds too good to be true, and whatever we say today, I want you to understand that that is normal. You have your predetermined set of beliefs. You have limiting beliefs that are passed on to you from your society. You have limiting beliefs that are passed on to you from your family and your friends. And there is such a theme of scarcity in 2023, 2024, whenever you're listening to this brilliant podcast, which bravo to you. Congratulations for putting out this content. I think it's so important and I love this. But scarcity is something, you know, that's going to really keep people from chasing what they want to do. And even seeing a vision that is bigger than what's really in front of them. So in terms of creating six-figure businesses, you look at, you know, people talk about six figures, like a ton of money. For some people, it really is. But the cost of living right now, it's like six figures is the new 50K, like 30 years ago. In terms of trying to build six-figure businesses, for me, it is about trying to show someone that, especially artists who are in a career where it really feels like we are fighting 24/7 to be seen, to be heard, to be understood, that you can go out there and use one of your skills that is totally transferable. One of the examples I always give, and then people can take it and run with it with whatever is applicable to them, is say, for example, you were incredible at music theory. Do you know how many students are scrolling TikTok right now that are failing music theory that would absolutely kill to have your knowledge, expertise, and a younger lens of looking through music theory and putting out that content out there? And you go out there and say they're learning the same concept in class from someone who's been teaching the course that is dusty and crusty, that has not thought about what it's like to be in that seat for a long time. And then they come across your TikTok, your Instagram, your Facebook, your Pinterest, wherever. Hopefully you have an omnipresence. And that you're out there and you're teaching something and they go, oh my God, I never thought of it that way. That's so cool. I didn't even know that I could think about music theory in terms of whatever, insert whatever. And so then they find the value in you and they click with you and you build the know, the like, and the trust factor. And then they see that you have a link in your bio. They click it and they go, oh my God, this guy's got one-on-one tutoring. I totally want to learn from him. He's going to help me pass. Enter amount of money here. If I take a tutoring session with him once a month, and that keeps me from having to fail this course, even though I'm paying this professor, blah, 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 the return on the investment is huge. So someone can go in who is amazing at music theory, make it fun, make it relatable, bring it into 2023 and build a massive business on there, because TikTok is literally just the number one algorithm, in my opinion, for getting new people onto your content. So like, how could you take that concept and run with it? Maybe it's not music. Maybe it's something completely different. Maybe you found out during the shutdown in 2020 how to clean your appliances like no one else, instead of having to call a repair person. You could make a channel that's absolutely dedicated to that and then build a course off of it. Or then do one-on-one consultations that you are bringing people on Zoom and walking them through. Oh, yeah, I know that model. You do blank, blank, and blank. Like, there is so much money. There are so many services. There are so many skills out there that are monetizable because of scarcity. We're not even considering making an income from.
You can really go niche with these things. The more niche, perhaps, the better, because that's the fantastic thing about Reddit and all of these subreddits and different communities, is you can find people are interested in the wackiest things and a real diversity of hobbies and interests. It's you can use that to your strengths. Absolutely.
The other thing I will say about that is that this is a lesson that took me way too long to learn, is that if you try to serve everyone, you will serve no one. So when I was not specific about who I wanted to teach in my private studio, I was not recruiting the right prospects. I was not recruiting the right people who really wanted to study with me. Then very recently, I really doubled down on how to train the tenor voice as a tenor voice professor. It's one of my tags on TikTok that I start a ton of videos with, that gets the most shares, that gets the most comments, gets the most questions, and brings in more tenors because I'm showing my level of expertise. And I think I was so afraid before to niche, because I'm like, but what if a soprano wants me? I can tell you I'm still recruiting sopranos, even though I'm talking about tenors, because I'm showing my level of expertise. So how can you think about, how does that concept apply to you in your life? If you're trying to serve everyone, you serve no one.
What a great niche. I mean, we're both tenors, so a little bit biased. And did you ever see that? There's a piece of artwork for anyone that's not really familiar with opera. There are the stereotypes of what people think when they're singing, and the tenor has the dollar sign above his head, and there, of course, yes, there's the stereotype, but here we are talking a little bit about business and money, and I love that. I love that. Great. Okay, so there's a great YouTuber or TikToker here in the UK called Simon Squibb. I don't know if you've seen his videos, but he goes up into the people in the street and he says, "What's your dream?" And your comments there reminded me a little bit about his videos, because so often he asks people what is their dream, and the common answer is to live an easy life, or is to have a certain amount of money. And he really tries hard to, he said, no, what's your dream? What really, if you can have any amount of money, what would you do? How would you spend your days? And a lot of people are just so used to being in that daily grind, let's say, that they can't even consider what their dream would be. So if someone is in that position listening to this podcast today, maybe they're in the daily grind and they've just stumbled across this podcast, how can someone find what their dream is? So you said go niche, find that thing. Would it be a hobby? Does it have to be something that you're interested in?
One of the exercises I take some of my business people through is very simple. Write down, brain dump, don't judge yourself, don't prejudge before you put pen to paper, a true brain dump. Mm-hmm. Write down the topics that you feel like you could speak on for 45 minutes and not run out of things to say.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
That's a great way to find your niche. For me, vocal technique. Hello. Literally, I can just like that. We could, you and I, like, let's hang up the podcast and let's talk about being a tenor. Like, we could probably talk for 12 hours straight.
Yeah, let's talk those top C's. Yeah.
So that's a way that you could find your niche to keep the main thing, whatever, is go through there and truly brain dump what are the things that when you start to talk about it, you start to talk a little bit faster. You start to vary your pitch a little bit more. You may even feel a bead of sweat start to come down your forehead. I literally feel that when I am getting into the grind of talking to someone about vocal technique. I get into that mindset when I am feeling passionate about how the operatic career is not being taught well at the conservatory level. No artists are leaving knowing how to make money. So like, that's something that will fire me up. What is it for you? If you brain dump, I promise you're going to find something that you're like, oh my God, I didn't even know I cared about that. That was so suppressed, but that's really cool. And I'm going to try it for 30 days. I'm going to go build a TikTok channel about that.
Love that. So you talked about a lot of college students leaving the conservatory or here in the UK, the conservatoire, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to navigate this career full of highs and lows. And I'm sure it's the same in the US, but here in the UK, there's often the mentality that when you're a classical musician, you stay pure and you stay doing that one thing. And it's only if you do that one thing that you're deemed truly successful. So it took the pandemic for me to start to break out of the cycle and to realize that actually, you know, the rug was really swept under my feet, and I was really exposed. I thought, I really have to switch this up. Why is that? And what can people practically do to make sure that they're getting that right frame of mind if they're not getting it in college?
So why? Is because of our mentors.
Interesting.
It is the older generation. No shade, no tea on the older generation. Love them. I've learned so much about what I do, what I teach, how I function because of them. Mm-hmm. But we have to, and there are so many, like my mentor, my voice teacher, Laura Brooks Rice, I will give her a shout out. I don't know if she'll see this. She was one who truly encouraged me to embrace the parallel career. I came to her and I said, you know, like, I love singing, but I really equally love teaching. I'm very passionate about it. She said, do both. When every other mentor said, don't you dare, no one will take you seriously. And so I want to give a shout out to the older generation who, older than myself, not calling you old, the older generation who is out there doing the work of really teaching the artists getting ready for 2023. I know you're out there. We love and appreciate you. Thank you. The rest of them are not. You cannot train the 2023-2024 graduating artist to go out there and go, you know, in the US, big young artist program, Metropolitan Opera main stage.
For people who aren't opera singers, that is, it's going straight into an apprenticeship and just relying on just that apprenticeship alone in one field.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Exactly. You can't rely on it for a career stepping stone. You can't rely on it as a financial, a very sturdy financial backbone for your career. And I personally don't believe that teaching a cookie cutter method in anything is the right way to go. 2023, 2024, compared to the 70s, 60s, 50s, whatever, it is not the same landscape. So we have to acknowledge that. And it's not a form of scarcity. I'm not out here preaching fear. I am preaching, I want you to figure out how to stabilize your income outside of your singing, outside of your artistry, so you can continue to chase your dreams, so that you can continue to work, to take lessons, to coach, to work on all of the things, so that you feel competitive and you don't feel drained by chasing your dream.
Okay, I wanted to ask, this is one more music related question, but again, it can be applied to any type of profession. With inflation, with the increased cost of living, one thing that still perplexes me as a musician is it seems that I'm still, in certain circumstances, being offered the same fees as I was almost 10 years ago. And that doesn't even account for inflation. And in some circumstances, there are even some pay cuts in inquiries. We will pay you this fee. How do you figure that out? When that's your main thing, what are you supposed to do? Do you turn it down? Do you burn the bridges? Is that where having actually a side hustle or other streams of income give you that possibility to say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's too low. Or you can't drop my fee. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Totally. Two sides of the coin. First, having a side hustle, having a parallel career, however you want to look at it, empowers you to say no to the offers that are embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Right? There are some companies out there that should be ashamed of the rates they're offering. And I understand. Trust me, I understand. I know the financials. I know money is not flowing into these companies, but that means you need to do something different. You cannot offer a 6-week contract to come in and sing a full role for under X amount of dollars for someone who has X amount of experience. That is embarrassing. So for the artist who is feeling like those are the offers they're getting, or that's the season that we're in as a community, having something to keep you stable financially so that you do not have to take offers that make you feel like garbage about your artistry, super powerful. The other side of the coin is that if you are in your stage of your artistry where you are working really hard to build your resume, working really hard to network, and you feel like you are in a position to take one of those contracts that is extremely low paying, but you have a very nice cash flow from something else, and you want to take it, there is no shame in taking that. Don't let your colleagues say, you know, if we keep taking gigs like that, then we are going to continue to get paid like that. I understand. I hear you. We're letting them get away with it, but you are not in that other person's shoes. You do not know how bad they want it, what they've sacrificed to get here, etc. So if you can have the side hustle, if you can have the parallel career that is allowing you to pay your bills, save for retirement, do all of things, continue to study, and you're getting these gigs and you're taking them in hopes to continue to launch your career, no one can tell you you're doing it wrong. There is no right. There is no wrong. There is no cookie cutter. That's
what I would say. I love that. And that's the joy of being, well, the joy and the terrifying thing about being a freelancer is you can really do it your way, as Frank Sinatra would say, and see where that leads. Sometimes it goes really well, and sometimes, oh gosh, I really don't know. I regret making that decision a little bit. And actually, I have a little story about this. The grass is always greener, okay? So I had a great friend of mine who was a singer, very, very passionate musician, loved this career, and inevitably grappled like we all do from time to time. The pandemic came, wiped out all of the concerts, and he decided to go into the police and to pursue a career there, to have a more stable income for his young family. It made sense, right? But after a couple of years of being in the police, he realized the pay wasn't that great in the police, believe it or not. And it was really long hours. And he then started to resent, why did I leave this wonderful life of artistic fulfillment and being able to travel and meet different people? So he ended up packing in his job at the police, and he's now gone back to being an opera singer. But I think that story is important because it goes to show that going through those experiences, that's where you learn a lot about yourself and what your priorities are and what's important to you and in your career.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Very good. So I want to know a little bit more about your story. So of course you've got a knack for business. This podcast is about more about personal finance, let's say. But could you tell me where do you think this business acumen came from? Did you always have that? Do you have an interest in personal finance as well, or are you just more business oriented?
I've been predisposed to entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And I have my amazing mom to thank for that. Mm-hmm. She ran a successful hair salon for 30 years and then decided to retire and leave that profession when the pandemic hit. And so I grew up in the hair salon after school, et cetera, watching her provide a service that made people super happy and that she always had cash because she was like, she could go and work, make cash, go work, make cash. And my dad is a sheriff, a police officer. Mm-hmm. So the funny about the police officer connection there, and he worked the traditional 9-to-5. And again, mm-hmm. provided with the benefits and with the stable cash flow. So I saw both sides of the coin and I still see both sides of the coin today. Mm-hmm. So the entrepreneurship side of things for me, totally thankful for my mom. She had me exposed to that without even realizing I was being exposed to it. So I went to undergrad. I was first generation college student. We did not know what was the deal with student loans. We didn't know how student loans worked. It just wasn't a thing. Both my parents were in trades, which also, and it just a little sidebar, anyone out there who feels like they're being pushed into college, but you really want to do a trade, please go do a trade. The money.
Absolutely.
That's probably a whole nother podcast you and I could do. But like, just my little PSA today. If you're on the fence, go do a trade first. You can always go to college later. But anyway, so I went to undergraduate and I graduated with $80,000 in student loan debt from a state school. So not even at like a regional amazing conservatory. Mm-hmm. Which I don't think is necessary anyway, to have a legitimate career. But I did. I went to a state school and it was still really expensive. And so I graduated and I got a full ride to my master's. It was a full tuition waiver and they were paying $800 a month. Thankful for the full ride. Thankful for making some money while I was still going to school. But that didn't even pay. My student loan repayment was over $1,000 a month. And then I had a car payment, and then I had car insurance, and then I had my cell phone, and then I had rent, and then I had groceries. Okay, so what, we're just going to go into debt again? No.
Absolutely. And I read, I can't remember which school, university it is in the UK, but there's now going to be a college course in becoming an influencer. And they were discussing this in the media, some people saying it's ridiculous. And there's one radio presenter that I watch, and he's pretty hardline, very much a traditionalist, and I was really surprised with his response. And he said, I think this is a wonderful idea because this is legitimate. You can earn an income and a substantial income by becoming one of these influencers. So if that, and it's clearly not an easy thing to do, so having a course, studying it would be quite legitimate. And I personally think it sounds very interesting. I would love to hear about what's on the course.
Well, and for people who are freaked out by this conversation, who are on the other side of the fence, that are like, that's I get it. I understand. There's been such a negative connotation with the word influencer. What if you were to sub the word influencer with leader? How many people go to school for leadership courses, leadership degrees? It is the same thing. You showing up on social media, providing value, teaching people something, helping them live a better life, making them laugh, making them whatever it is your thing is, you are a leader. And leaders are the highest paid people in the world. Influencer equals leader. Leader equals influencer. It's not anything scammy. It's not anything weird that you should be afraid of. We're not trying to buck the system. It is just the trend of the times. And if you follow it and you allow yourself to pivot, sub the word leader for influencer, you'll probably be less freaked out and realize that you can make an impact on the world.
absolutely love that. And it's a play on words, but it's much more effective. Somehow the word influencer has all of those various connotations, but a leader, I'd certainly listen to a leader. I'd be inspired by a leader. I'd watch a leader. I'd tune into a leader. So yeah, I love that. That's even for me, that's making me think about it in a different way there.
You are a leader.
Oh, thank you very much. I guess so. Running a podcast regularly and showing up. I'm a leader. I'll go for that. Yes. Go for the leaders out there. I was walking down the street just about 20 minutes from my home just yesterday. And I saw someone that I wondered whether it was her daughter taking pictures of her. But she had a camera out and she was taking her footage for a TikTok or Instagram. And I didn't want to stare, but I was just really intrigued. And that's the curiosity of my nature. I was like, I wonder, what is she going to use this content for? What purpose is, you know, how is she going to cut it? What is it going to look like? And I almost wish that I could have asked her, you know, what's your account? What do you get up to? But there is a fear of being seen, or there's a fear of worrying about what other people will think. Maybe this taps into the scarcity mindset that you mentioned just a few moments ago. What happens if someone has the fear? Can they still do it? What would your pearls of wisdom be there?
Say you're listening to this, you leave inspired and you say, I can do somersaults in the desert. I am going to make a TikTok channel completely dedicated to this. And then you start to go to do it and you have that little voice in your head that goes, oh my God, what about when your Aunt Sally Sue sees this and says that you're an absolute freak? What about when your ex-best friend from high school sees this and shares this to your other friend who was so mean to you and bullied you? I want to give you the best piece of advice I have ever been given in business, and which I still say to myself every day. No matter what you do, people are always going to talk about you. So you might as well give them a freaking show. Give them something to talk about, whether it's good or bad, because the people who love you, you have three people in your life. You have the people who love, you have the naysayers, and you have the haters. I made a TikTok about this recently. The haters are your biggest marketing firm. Your haters are your biggest PR firm pushing out your content, sharing your content and go, isn't this person such a whack job? And then the other person goes and watch it and goes, wait, I kind of love this. And they go and talk. You know how many people have joined my business who have come and studied with me, etc. It's the same across the board, because I share a TikTok about laryngeal tilt. And there's some teachers who believe that the larynx doesn't tilt, even though they've never like studied science at all. And then the other tenor receives it and they're like, oh my God, that's exactly what I've been looking for. And then they come study with me. So if your fear is based around the judgment of others, I want to encourage you to do it scared. Take messy action, because the only way you're going to get better is if you actually put one foot in front of the other and do it. Do it scared. Do it messy. Let people talk crap, because I promise you they will. And I promise you your brand will grow if you do things messy, because it will get better. The other thing in regards to fear is that I think the worst possible thing for a human to go through is to say no to themselves when they want to try something, and they keep denying, keep denying, keep denying. And then you get to the end of your life and say, I wish I tried it. Mm-hmm. What a horrible place to be, to live mm-hmm. with regret. So how can you just take action? How can you keep your circle small, a circle of people who love, encourage, and rah, rah, shish, goomba, tell you, go do it big, go do it scared, and cut out all the other noise. Don't read your comments if it freaks you out. Don't go into the DMs if it freaks you out. Get out there and take messy action and build the life that you really want to live. Because if you deny yourself doing something that really interests you, that might be the thing that brings you ultimate joy, I don't want you to get to the end of your life and be sad that you didn't try it.
Coaching Conversation 2024. This podcast is 100% dedicated to leadership and leadership within the workplace coaching area. We work with companies throughout the world teaching leaders how to coach their employees. This podcast is dedicated to teaching specific strategies, frameworks, coaching models, and now artificial intelligence strategies to help leaders drive greater teamwork, collaboration, cooperation, greater attitudes, better motivation, coaching career development, just to name a few. I hope you'll check out our podcast.
Very wise words. And tapping into the naysayers' comments, I love how you use this example of the laryngeal tilt and the people commenting and saying, oh man, that's not a thing, or you should do this, or try this technique, or I wouldn't do it that way. Are you going into that video thinking, I'm saying something here that could be considered controversial, and then you're getting all of those comments? Do you play into that a little bit? Is it your duty to play into that? Or do you just create content that tries to help people? For myself, and I realize that this certainly doesn't help me grow at all, but I don't want to be someone that rings that alarm bell and says, this big thing. I'd rather people come to me and watch me. But I think from a psychological perspective, we as humans, we're craving those things that scare us or create that very, very strong emotion. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a really good question. I would say 95% of my content is not based on trying to stir the pot. Mm-hmm. The other 5% of some of that 95 will stir the pot, even if I'm not trying to, right?
Yeah. But
the other 5% is not necessarily me going, ooh, I need to hit 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 followers. I'm really going to make people mad. The other 5% is actually trying to put out content that is controversial that I truly believe to be true.
Yeah.
It will bring in some of that like anger. It will bring in extra shares. It will bring in extra comments. But I'm not doing it to try to become famous. I only have like 7,000 followers on TikTok, but it's over a six-figure business in my voice studio. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know a lot of influencers, leaders, whatever you want to call it, who have hundreds of thousands of followers that are broke. So, you know, it's really not about being controversial to build a brand on purpose. I think it's about putting out your truth, building your business and your brand from integrity, that you lay your head down on the pillow. And even if you posted something that's got people really mad at you, or that you know, lots of whatever, lots of hate in the comments, when you can put your head down on the pillow at night and know that it was not malicious and that you are truly coming from a place of trying to help, then you have nothing to fear. Build from integrity and no one can tell you anything.
Yeah. And going back to your comment about think what you could you talk about for 45 minutes, if you do find that topic or a number of topics, I think that you're going to have a certain amount of knowledge. You will have consumed other podcasts, you'll be educated in that, and that's going to start to inform the way that you speak about things. So I think if you have that sense of credibility and passion behind what you're creating, then you're always going to have that. Most people will have some type of filter that will help them decipher what do I say here. So you said, you know, sometimes you just throw something in because, you know, a little firework that may or may not explode. You thought, okay, that could be fun, but yeah, it doesn't detract away from who you are and what you're trying to say in your business and the message to your followers, which I love. You mentioned there about the following counts, how many followers you have. Is that important as a business owner? We can so easily get sidetracked a little bit about how many people follow you. But the reality, right, is you could have 200,000 followers on TikTok, but they could be interested in country music or death metal, and maybe that wouldn't serve you so well, right? So it's better to have those 7,000 or 2,000 followers that are really interested in that laryngeal tilt, man, that really keeps them up at night. It's going to be better to have those people in your community rather than a load of folks that have no interest in tenors or opera singing or whatever at all.
Absolutely. And if anyone is out there struggling with this, so, the follower count, the amount of likes, etc., is a vanity metric. Look, going to someone's social media, going to an influencer, a leader and seeing their social media and they have way more followers than you and they have way more likes, whatever, does not mean that their income is higher than you, does not mean that they are not severely in debt, does not mean that they are not depressed and can't get out of bed in the morning. You are following their highlight reel. So I want you to remember that. And then for those of you who are really struggling with this concept of that the follower count doesn't matter, is that I want you to go buy a book called Superfans. Have you ever read Superfans?
I haven't, no. Who's it written by? Do you know the author?
I forget.
I'll put it in the show notes. Maybe you can find it for me afterwards and send me a DM.
If you look it up, it's a very famous book, Superfans. And the premise of the book is basically if you can develop like 100 to 1,000, I don't remember exactly the number he uses, but 100 to 1,000 super fans, not just people who click like on your stuff, but actively comment, actively DM, actively do follow everything that you do, that's $1 million business a year. It's 1,000 people or whatever he says in the book. Fact check me. If you can really engage, if you can build a community with 1,000 people who love, know, and trust you, that's where the business lies. And so I 10 out of 10 recommend Superfans for that reason. That's a great book.
Brilliant. I'll go definitely go and check that out. Sounds really interesting. What do you think, going back to us creatives or musicians, again, applicable for everyone, but what happens if someone's fallen into the trap of just scrolling along? You know, they're playing in an orchestra or they've got a couple of gigs lined up. They're feeling comfortable. They're scrolling. It's fine. They're content with how it's going. I have the view that it's better to be a creator, to find ways to be creative online, to create things yourself more than you consume. And that's a good way to keep things well balanced in life. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. So one of my daily missions is to create more than I consume.
Love that.
On TikTok especially. And so a little pro tip for y'all, especially if you're getting into the realm of content creation and you're searching for trend, you're searching for what's working, you do need to do that. You need to do your market research. So please open up your timer, set a 10-minute timer, and allow yourself to scroll and save. Scroll and save, scroll and save. Inspirational things, you look at something, you watch something, and you're like, I love that. I want to remake that for my business, for my page. Save it, scroll. You can allow yourself to really scroll, set your time frame, whatever you have available. And when that timer goes off, you turn the app off and you go create.
I love that sense of immediacy. So it's a direct follow-on. So you've just seen it, you've saved the ideas, you can get it back if you need it, but then now I'm in creative mode and I'm going to make this happen for myself. Exactly. I like that, because you're setting yourself that boundary of the time limit and it immediately follows on. Boom. Love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, it works.
I'm just editing up the episode and wanted to take this opportunity to tell you, to remind you about the Google Doc. That's the place where you can go to find a whole host of referral codes, potential to save money. And if you want to support the podcast, then you can do that by signing up for some of the referral codes in the Google Doc. Now, let's head back to the episode. For someone, you just mentioned TikTok research. How does someone research? How does someone find someone old like me? How do we find these trends that people are using? How do we find what trends are right for our business?
Totally. So again, it comes back down to taking messy action. I think one of the things that keeps us from being successful on social media as humans is paralysis by analysis. So what I would do, instead of getting too caught up in the concept of going out and searching for trends, blah, 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 is that I would produce a variety of content. So say you really want to become a leader, you want to become an influencer, and you know the topic that you want to create on that you can talk about for 45 minutes, do a 30-day run. I often say 90-day run because business works in 90-day cycles. But maybe 90 is too much for you. Maybe 30 is too much for you. Maybe you do a 7-day run where you commit to creating 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 pieces of content a day, whatever you decide you can do, and feed the algorithm consistently. Now, I am not a social media guru. I would not consider myself someone who studied the algorithm, who does it. I've had success and have built massive businesses because I just do it and figure out what works. So I just want to preface that I'm not a social media guru. I also wouldn't listen to the gurus. I would just do your own thing and figure out what works. But go out there and feed the algorithm consistently and change it up. So I have found that 2020 to 2021 was heavy on trends, using the trending music, recreating the scene, and then putting the text on the screen that fit for your business. I have seen a dramatic shift 2022 to 2023, moving away from that, from the algorithm favoring that content. And we are now moving in to humor and value. People want talking head videos. People want to learn something. People want to laugh at your story. People want to laugh at an embarrassing moment. They want you to peel back the curtain. They want to see you. I don't see people engaging with trends like they did 2 years ago.
Okay, now there's a series of podcast questions that I ask every single guest, and I'm going to throw some new ones in today. So just say what comes to your head first of all, okay? What's your earliest money memory that you'd like to share with the listeners?
That is such a hard question.
Well, you alluded to it earlier on by saying that you were in the salon with your mum, so I'm guessing that you were, in some context, seeing people hand over the money and just see those transactions happening from time to time.
Totally. That must be it. That's the earliest I can go back and think, seeing her, making money, like providing a service and cash coming in immediately.
Love that. I got asked this question myself whilst being interviewed for another podcast, and I liked it. Is there anything that's concerning you right now?
I'm very concerned and very aware in my voice studio that this age group is struggling more than ever, and that it's my job to not be their therapist, but to listen and to try to provide solutions, even when it's outside of their voice, whether that's walking them to the counseling center, whether that's, giving them a podcast or a book to read around a mindset shift or whatever. That something that deeply concerns me is the mental health of the youth right now.
You did a video on this, so to try and put it into context for other people, but of course as musicians we have teachers, and at a college level typically you are extremely loyal to your teacher. As you alluded earlier on, the teacher is the maestro. They have come from a different generation. It's a generation where respect is huge, and we put the teachers on pedestals, which sometimes is deserved and sometimes not. And what I liked about your video is that you said that you have to be able to decipher when this is working for you, when it's not working for you, and you don't have to be loyal to one particular teacher. Some people have this attitude where it's one teacher for life and you can only go to one particular person. But how do you learn in your own particular life? If something's working for you in 1 week and then it's not for another week, then chop and change it if that benefits you. And I loved how you outlined that, because it's something that I think people would certainly find difficult in the conservatory environment. Okay, can you name an embarrassing financial memory or purchase?
You know, I don't know that it's embarrassing, but something that I have since learned is the depreciation of vehicles. And I definitely upgraded my vehicle when I did not need to. That was a learning lesson. It's not like I'm in the hole for it or anything, but I'm just like, the other car was fine. And I could have invested that extra money into the S&P 500 and like got an 8% return on that.
Yeah, opportunity costs. Oh, well. Exactly. It's nice to have a nice car. A good, well, lesson learned. I love that. Can you recommend perhaps a podcast, a YouTube video, a resource on the smaller scale, if possible, that my listeners can go and check out?
I have a couple of recommendations. Number one is Money Mondays by Dan Fleischman. Do you listen to Money Mondays?
No, I don't.
Money Mondays. Dan Fleischman is a huge entrepreneur. I have met him. He's excellent. He was very responsible for the Kardashians brand.
Oh, right.
So I would check out Money Mondays. And then for business, I would recommend my mentor, who recently passed away, Jessie Lee Ward. She just recently passed of colon cancer in her 30s. She taught me everything I know about business. And her podcast was how I really learned to scale my voice studio to six figures. There are unmatched business lessons in there that, you know, I often say YouTube University, like go learn something on YouTube. There's so much free value on there. That podcast can really help you learn how to build a business. It is a little network marketing centered, but you can flip your lens and look through it through any business lens. Through it, all the principles are applicable.
Brilliant. That's, love that.
The people's mentor, Jesse Lee Ward.
Okay, I'll be sure to leave those bits of information in the show notes for people to find. But most importantly, where can people find more information about you?
Yes, so I would recommend my Instagram or my TikTok. They are the same handle, JMS Tenor, as in Jordan Marshall Schreiner Tenor. And then my Facebook is Jordan Marshall. I changed it a long time ago and haven't been able to change it back. But my Facebook isn't really, that's one of my omnipresence points that needs to be worked on. So definitely Instagram or TikTok, JMS Tenor, T-E-N-O-R.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for taking the time, Jordan. We could speak for a long time about many, many other things, but you've dispelled lots of myths and you've given us lots of things to think about. So I really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me on.
So folks, that's the conclusion of today's episode, which I hope you enjoyed. I certainly came away from this chat feeling just very inspired. And the more people that I interview on the podcast, the more enriched I find it, because I hear all of these different ideas. And look, it's guests from all around the world, different perspectives, but I felt from this episode that there are things that I can practically try. And the more things that I try, the more success then I have to really establish what works for me, what works for my routine, what works for my business. And I hope that you're going to have the same success in your work life too. If you're craving a little bit more, then do not fret. There's a whole host of episodes that you can check out in the archives. And today I recommend episode 74, entitled How to Reset Your Money Mindset. Yasi changed her financial mentality after being diagnosed with a tumor. And after months of unconscious spending, she turned things around by becoming much more intentional with her money and starting her own business. Great episodes. I've had Yasi on the podcast twice. I'll have to get her back on sometime soon. That's all for this week, and see you on Wednesday sometime soon. Ciao. Please keep in mind that none of the information in this podcast constitutes as financial advice, and you should seek your own independent financial advice before making any business, financial, or investment decisions. Ciao.